Europe.
Ukraine's electricity supply. Racing against time. Half its power is knocked out, with winter only a few months away.
On a tour of a destroyed power plant, unidentified for security reasons, the monumental damage wrought by Russia's spring campaign against Ukraine's electricity generation infrastructure is clear. The vast Soviet-era coal-fired power station is gutted. Walls charred by a fire that burned for over 24 hours, windows blown out, roof collapsed, machinery wrecked, pipes and ducts broken, everywhere a mess of rubble, twisted metal support struts, flayed steel cables, loose wire. Serhii, who asked that his surname not be used, a senior engineer, puts his finger in the shrapnel holes in the 20-millimetre thick hulls of the turbines to illustrate the force of the blast. Incredibly, there were no casualties among the 15 or so key staff that are required to remain on site during air raid alerts, hunkered behind sandbags in control rooms in the centre of the plant. Rain falls into pools of light from the holes in the shredded roof. It is unnaturally quiet. Maxim Timchenko, CEO of DTEC, which runs most of Ukraine's non-nuclear power plants, including the one The Economist visited, says that 90% of their generating capacity has been destroyed this year. Waves of attacks since March have targeted thermal and hydro plants, as well as, for the first time, solar energy installations. As Russia struggles to make any serious gains on the battlefield, power lines have become the new front line. Before the invasion, Ukraine's generating capacity was 36 gigawatts of electricity. Russia targeted its electricity infrastructure in late 2022, and half of that capacity had already been lost, either occupied, destroyed, or damaged, before the attacks renewed this year. Ukraine had managed to restore some capacity, and last winter managed just about to keep the lights on, restoring capacity almost to the 18 gigawatts then needed. But this year's attacks have destroyed 9 gigawatts of capacity. Pretty much all that is left comes from nuclear power stations, which the Russians have refrained from attacking. The chug of generators has returned to Kyiv's streets. Power cuts affect every Ukrainian city. Russian attacks continue. There are not enough air defence batteries to knock out all the missiles. Now what? Ukraine currently imports 1.7 gigawatts from the EU. This could be up to around 2 gigawatts, according to optimists, but imported electricity cannot provide more than an incremental boost. In the short term, the damaged power stations may be repaired sufficiently by this winter to produce another 2 to 3 gigawatts of capacity. Ukrainian engineers are scouring Europe for second-hand equipment from decommissioned Soviet-type power stations. It is unclear how realistic this is. "We will try," says Serhii, the engineer, sadly surveying his power station's wreckage. Everyone understands that even if you could partly refurbish existing plants, they are large sitting ducks. All of them have been hit often. Repairing existing thermal power stations could be a relatively cheap stopgap. But even without the war, Ukraine would need to reorient its energy policy away from coal-fired stations. The government has decided to invest in nuclear. It announced that 4 new reactors would be built at Khmelnytsky, one of the 3 nuclear plants still under Ukrainian control, producing most of the power Ukraine still has. Russia occupies the 4th at Zaporizhia and has shut it down. Some Ukrainian energy analysts are sceptical. "They are spending money on something we don't need," says Volodymyr Omelchenko at the Razumkov Center, a think tank. It's a very bad decision, in my opinion, he adds. It looks like a way to tie up a lot of money in investing in a project over 10 years. Meanwhile, local municipalities, desperate to be able to provide the critical services of heating and water pumping this winter, are installing mini power plants in the form of modern efficient gas turbines, with a capacity of anything from 5 to 70 megawatts. These mini power plants can plug in locally, but it is unlikely that enough could be installed before the coming winter. The irony of this destruction and this war is that it accelerated the decarbonisation of the energy industry of Ukraine, says Mr. Timchenko. DTEC finished building a 114-megawatt wind farm just 100 kilometres from the front line last year. When a Russian missile hit one of their solar panel fields, they repaired the damage in just 4 days. Wind and solar are not just greener options, but are resilient too. It's only one missile to destroy a 300-megawatt coal-fired power station, points out Mr. Timchenko. But they need 50 missiles to destroy the same capacity in a wind farm. Ukrainians have already learned how to adapt to electricity shortages. Small businesses have diesel generators. Medium-sized factories have invested in gas turbines and can even sell their extra supply to the national grid. Cafes are open for co-working. But when it comes to keeping the heating and the lights on over winter, all of Ukraine will be sorely tested.